That stuff's fine there for you. Do what you want. Well, good morning. I am happy, excited to be here with you this morning. We arrived a week ago. We got in late Sunday night. I'm here with my two daughters, Abigail and Audrey. There you go. That's them. They're good kids most of the time. So I had my first week in the office, and it's been good, busy but good. Of course, you know, you're asking lots of questions and getting asked lots of questions and things like that. So I was busy. That's what I'll say. Anyways, I'm just really thrilled that I'm here, and I'm thrilled you're here. Thanks for coming this morning. Really happy that you're a part of this. You know, I spent a lot of the week praying about, okay, God, what do you want me to speak on? Like the first time you preach, right? You kind of, you know, I preach the call, but the first time you're like, you're the official pastor, right? And you're kind of like, okay, God, what do you talk about? You know, like, what does that look like? And so I actually have something in mind. I'm not just going to ramble all morning. But today we're going to talk about the favor of God, because I just believe that the favor of God is on us. And it's on this church, and I believe it's on Campbell River. And we're going to talk about that and what that looks like for each and every one of us. And then later, closer to the end, I'm going to speak and declare some of the favor of God over your life and over our church. And it'll be good. It'll be good. So, thank you. I appreciate that. Thanks. I appreciate that. As was mentioned, Angela and our two younger daughters, Madeline and Chloe, are still back in Ontario. And they'll get here hopefully sometime soon. And our dog Marley. So hopefully they all make their way here. Please continue to pray, right, for the sale of our house, and just trust God with that. And of course, that He has one picked out for us already here. Anyways, so here we go. I don't know how long I have, I'll figure it out. One time there's a bunch of guys on a boat, right, sailing, and they're in the midst of a storm. This is not a biblical story, by the way, although that does happen in the Bible. They're out on a boat, and they're in the midst of a raging storm, so much so that the storm was continuing, the captain realized that his ship was in trouble and it was sinking. And so he began to call out to all the men on the boat. He says, "Does anybody here know how to pray? Anybody at all? Does anybody know how to pray?" And he asked several times. And finally, one man stepped forward and said, "I, Captain, I know how to pray." And he says, "That's great." He says, "Everybody else, get your life jackets on." And he turns to the guy and says, "It's a good thing you know how to pray, because we're one short." Yeah, that's awful, right? My joke actually does have a point, because many times as believers, we feel like we're that one left behind, right? We feel like sometimes we're praying and we're asking and we're forgotten and we're left. But the truth is not that at all, because the favor of God rests on us. The favor of God is upon us. Here's like my main thought for you today is that God's favor rests on the presence of Christ in your life, not on your performance. God's favor rests upon the presence of Christ in your life, not on how you perform. Okay, so if I could get you to walk away with one thing today, that would be it. That the favor of God in your life is complete and fully resting upon the presence of Christ in you, not upon your own performance or activity. Okay, so we're going to look at a few scriptures that have to do with the favor of God. Oh yeah, I have to work this thing. This is new for me, I'll be honest. So if I'm not tracking, you'll figure it out. I'll figure it out. Anyways, here we go. Psalm 5 and 12 says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." Proverbs 3 says, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." And then Psalm 84 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." So my goal for today, as I said, is to speak the favor of God over this church, over your life, over, you know, we're beginning a relationship together as I'm your pastor, to speak God's favor over that. But it's important to note that my speaking it isn't what brings it into being, right? My speaking it isn't what creates it. I'm simply agreeing with the things that God has already said about us and to us. And so we're agreeing by faith. And when we agree by faith, what happens is we begin to see the invisible God in visible ways. Right? When we agree by faith with the Lord, this invisible God begins to break through into our reality, into visible things that we can tangibly see here on earth. One of my favorite verses you'll get to know is Matthew 6 and 10, that we're to pray for it to be on earth as it is in heaven. We're to pray for it to be on earth as in heaven. There is, in God's mind, there isn't meant to be a distinction between what heaven looks like and earth looks like. And yet many times we live that way, don't we? But God says that that's how we're to operate, it's how we're to think, it's how we're to lead ourselves, to pray as though God's will happens here on earth just like as it does in heaven. So God's favor is already upon you. It's already upon this church. I didn't bring it with me from Ontario. I did, but I didn't bring it just for you, right, from Ontario. It's because it's just on me as a son of God. It was already here. It already existed, right? It was here with Pastor Mark. It was here before Pastor Mark, and it'll continue after me someday, hopefully when I retire here. That's my goal. Well, we'll see what God has in mind, right? And so God's favor is already on you. It's already on this church. It's already on Campbell River. And so it's good for us to be aware of God's favor on our life, so that we can walk in it, so that we can steward it, we can do well with it. In other words, you know, you haven't been left on a sinking ship without a life jacket. God's favor is upon you. And we're going to talk about what it is and what we can do to steward it and facilitate it in our lives. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, the word favor and grace are very closely related, very closely linked. They're not the exact same word, but many times the word that it says grace in both the Old Testament and New Testament could also be interpreted favor. They're like brother and sister. They're very closely related. And so many times when you see the word grace in the New Testament, it can also be interpreted favor, but not always. And so it's just important to know that, because the two things are combined. God's grace and God's favor work together in our lives. So it's good for us to be aware of it. It's good for us to know this. Favor is this. Favor has to do with the goodwill of God towards you. Favor has to do with his loving kindness, his joy. The Father is joyful over you. He's joyful over you. You make him smile. Do you have favorite things in your life? Do you have things that you like, right? Things that are your favorite. Right, my kids all think that they're my favorite. It's true. And that's probably because secretly I go to each one of them and say, "You're my favorite, don't tell your sisters." Right? And then, of course, it didn't take them long till they all figured out I was doing that. But, right, you have favorite things in your life. You have a favorite color, maybe a favorite food, and then things that you don't like. Consider this. God's favor is on you. That means you're his favorite. I mean, you know, you could say, "Well, Jesus loves you, but I'm his favorite." The thing is, we could all say it. His favor's on you, so you're his favorite. When somebody is your favorite, what do? You pay attention to them. You spend time with them. You want to know them. You want to be with them. You want to do things for them that helps their life. You're his favorite. And yet many times we live as though we're not. As though we're unsure about where we stand with the Lord. So God's joy is upon you. Favor also means delight. It means acceptance. It means to be pleased with and favorable towards. Here's what I would say is the difference between grace and favor. Grace is the inner work of God in our life, right? It's God's grace that saves us, right? By faith, right? So it's God's grace that brings us into places of salvation, of being fully forgiven and being adopted, to becoming a child of God. It's favor. So grace is the inner work. Favor is the outer demonstration of the inner work that's already taken place. That's what I would say the difference is. Favor is the outer demonstration of the grace of God in your life. Favor is the demonstrated delight of the Lord on your life. It's the tangible evidence of the Lord's approval. It is the evidence of the Lord's approval upon your life. I'm going to be honest, I am going after a mindset here. I don't even know if the mindset exists in this church. My experience in pastoring is that it exists in every believer. And the mindset is, the better I do with God, the better He does for me. If I give God my best, then God will give me His best. But that isn't how grace works. Should we give God our best? Absolutely, of course. Don't hear me say anything different than that. Of course we should. But you giving God your best does not mean that God then responds in kind as human beings would. Because grace, how do we often define grace? We often call grace unmerited favor. Unmerited. What does unmerited mean? It means you can't earn it, right? You can't work to get it. It's unmerited. You don't do anything to deserve it. You haven't done anything to deserve it. We understand that about grace, and yet then we get into grace and we suddenly begin to think that God's continued favor upon our life is dependent upon our performance. But God's favor on your life rests upon the presence of Christ, not upon your performance. So here you have, right, the demonstrated, the tangible evidence of the Lord's approval in your life. Grace is unmerited favor, so you can't do anything to earn it. One of the lies that we often believe and operate in is that God's opinion of us depends upon our behavior, because that's how humans work. Let's be honest, that's how we work as humanity. We know we shouldn't, but it's true. Some of you have formed opinions of me already, right? And some of you are going to take your time, and truthfully, I understand that you're going to base the majority of your opinion upon how I perform, because that's how we work as humans. God doesn't work that way. It's just simply not the way that the Lord works. And yet we fall into this lie. We get trapped in the thinking that the favor of God is more dependent upon our performance than upon our beliefs. And it isn't. We all know. Okay, so we know and we understand that our beliefs and our actions should line up. Absolutely, they should line up. But we also know that each and every one of us in this room have areas where what we say we believe and then how we act or perform don't completely line up. Each and every one of us, me included, and some of you, your opinion of me just changed. But I'm human too. We know and understand that what we say we believe, we should live out. But we also know and understand that each and every one of us have areas where we're growing, areas where we're struggling, and sometimes outright falling down. And what I've noticed in faith is that this has a wide range in how it affects us in our faith. And this is what I mean by that. Because different believers can struggle with it in different ways. When Jesus dies on the cross and His blood is, you know, poured out for us, when you come to Christ, His blood forgives you of your sin, right? Some of you are sure. Okay, all right. The rest of you come talk to me after, okay? Jesus' blood forgives your sin, washes it, cleanses it, covers it. Okay, we know that to be true. We know it. We say we believe it. And yet many times, believers find themselves still struggling in an area with sin. You say, well, I'm set free from it, but my behavior doesn't quite line up to the thing I say I believe. that I'm set free, that sin, that I'm now a slave to righteousness, or I'm a slave to Christ. I'm not a slave to sin. We know that. We understand it. So you can have that aspect of it. You can also have, honestly, what I would say is the other end of the aspect is, does Scripture not say that all things are possible for those that believe? All things. Anything is possible with God, right? Do you ever find yourself hesitant to pray that prayer? God, you can do this. We say it. We say we believe it. And then we find ourselves hesitant to step into it. This is what it, so we can have a wide range of effect in terms of what we say we believe, and then how it often works out in terms of our actual actions. So we know our beliefs and our actions should line up. But God's opinion of you, God's favor upon your life, is not dependent upon your action. It's dependent far more. There is some dependency upon how you perform, but it's far more dependent upon your beliefs. So we can find ourselves sometimes caught in this lie that tells us if we were only doing better, or even just a little bit better, right? If I just prayed a little bit more, if I read my Bible more, if I memorized more Scripture, if I served a little bit more, God would look at me more favorably. I'd see more of that demonstrated, tangible evidence of His favor on my life. We fall into this trap, into this lie, that we can somehow unlock the favor of God. But grace and favor work together. Grace is unmerited favor. You can't earn this from the Lord. There's just a really great example in Matthew chapter 10. We're going to look at it. This has to do with Jesus and his disciples. Jesus calls the 12 disciples to him, and says in verse 1, Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, Jesus calls his 12 disciples to him and give them authority to drive out impure spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. So Jesus calls them, says, here you go, guys. I'm giving you this authority. You're going to go. You're going to cast out impure spirits. You're going to heal every kind of disease and sickness. That's pretty neat, right, that Jesus does this with them. They go out, and he says in verse 6 to 8, he says, go to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, so freely give. So here we are. It's Matthew 10. You know, it's still fairly early in the book of Matthew. Let me ask you, what have the disciples done to this point to earn that authority that Jesus just gave them? Right, as you look at the disciples and what they're doing with the Lord, right? Jesus has called them, they responded to the call, they're following him. But most of the time, right, they're demonstrating a lack of understanding, a lack of faith. You know, Peter, I love Peter, and Peter's often putting his foot in his mouth, right? Like, he's saying the things everybody else is thinking, but he's the only one brave enough to say it. And, you know, so you have these guys that are kind of stumbling through their faith, trying to figure it out with Jesus. I don't know about you, that could be the start of my autobiography. They hadn't done anything to this point to deserve this, because they've never done anything, the disciples who become the apostles. They'd never do anything to deserve it. It fully rests upon the presence of Christ in their life. That's the point when Jesus leaves and says, now go, wait for me, because you'll get the promise, the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that the presence of God rests on their life. God gives to us way beyond what we earn or deserve. And he says there, because we get it freely, we're meant to just give it away freely. So the things that you've received from God, you're just meant to give them away. And in fact, I would say the spiritual principle is that if you don't give it away, you'll eventually lose it. The gift that you're given, the favor that's on you. You want to see it increase, start giving it away to other people. So let me ask you this. What do you believe about the favor of God for your life? What do you believe about the favor of God for your life? Do you actually believe that God is favorable towards you? Do you believe that you're his favorite? It's okay for each and every one of us to be his favorite. We don't understand that in humanity, right? Because we don't think we can operate that way, but he can. Do you believe that he'll work on your behalf even if you're not performing your best? Do you expect him to tangibly demonstrate his approval in your life? Or are you trapped in that place where you think, well, if I give my best, then I'll get God's best? The problem is that that makes it earned. It makes it something that you have to merit based on your merits. But that just simply isn't how God works. We can't meet the standards that he has for us in our own strength, in our own ability. Or do you believe this? Do you believe that because Jesus paid for all your sin, and do you believe that you are thoroughly forgiven, completely, fully adopted, loved beyond measure, so that your heavenly Father now looks on you with favor? He looks on you with favor. I love the verse in Zephaniah that says, he sings over us. Some of you like that too, apparently. You know, when my girls were little, right, I'd hold them, and I'd sing, and I'd worship, and I'd be singing over their life. Because I knew I would do anything for them. The Father gave his Son for us. And now he looks at us, he says, I sing over you. I so delight in you. You're my favorite. And he's saying, because of that, right, he wants to do things on our behalf, things that we don't deserve, things that we can't earn, but he wants to do them for us. Lots of times in churches, we get distracted by the things that are wrong, maybe within the church or maybe in our world. Because it can be easy, right, to get distracted with the difficulties of your own life or the difficulties in our world. What we have to focus on, however, is the favor of God that rests upon us. The fact that he works on our behalf, even though we don't deserve it, or even though we haven't earned it. We need to leap, because what that does is it leads us into places of faith. Leads us into places where we believe, and so then our actions will begin to line up better with what we say we believe. I don't know about you. When I put myself in the position of having to earn from God, because I sometimes I fall back into it too, right? I think we all do. So when I approach God with that idea that I have to earn from him, that I have to do right, and continue to do right, and the only way that I'll get from him is if I do the right things. Don't hear me say that doing the right things isn't important. It's a matter of priority. So when I think, you know, God won't work for me, or he won't do the things I need him to do until I do the right things, when I live primarily from that place, what I find is I'm always looking at all the ways I'm failing. I'm looking at all the ways that I fall short. And so I'm busy condemning myself. And is there a time to look at the things that you need to do different? Absolutely. But you can't let that be the primary way that you approach the Lord. Did Jesus forgive all your sins? Right. So then when you approach him, why do you think they're still in the way?
We don't forgive ourselves.
It's a good answer. It comes down to a belief, right? And do we need to deal with stuff in our life at times? Absolutely. But we have to understand that he says, you know what, the doors are wide open. Come on in. I actually want you to be with me. He doesn't want us to live in the position where we're looking constantly, consistently at how we're failing or not measuring up. And the flip side is true. So, you know, when I put myself in the position of having to earn from God, I'm always looking at the way I'm falling short. But when I look at myself from who God says I am in Christ, I'm encouraged then to do right, to abandon my failures at the cross and push on towards the goal of knowing Christ. It's about where we start and what motivates us, what pushes us through life. We can be free to live in the favor of God because it depends far more on how we perform than what we believe. I'm sorry, I got that backwards. It depends far more on what we believe than how we perform. Proverbs 3, again, says, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. I'm sure each and every one of us, I mean, sure you can read this and think, well, I could be more loving. I could be more faithful. We can probably all look at it, you know, look at Scripture and think that about ourselves. We can let Scripture, at times, we can let it condemn us or encourage us. You can think, oh, God, I don't love people enough. God, I need to be more faithful. You can think those things. Or you can come to it and say, God, you know what? God, I'm going to set my sights on loving you. I'm going to set my sights. I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus. And when you do that, the Father begins to produce Christ-likeness in you. He writes Jesus on your heart, like the proverb there says. And when that happens, because the favor of God rests upon the presence of Christ in your life, not in your performance, when He writes Christ upon your heart, what you'll find is that the favor of God increases in your life. It's possible for the favor of God to increase in your life. Right? The grace of God is the same all the time for us, but the favor of God can increase because it rests upon the presence of Christ in your life. Later in the proverb, in Proverbs 3 and 34, it says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. We're actually operating in pride when we think that we can earn the grace and the favor of God, but God shows favor to the humble, to those that understand and believe that their position before God is completely based on the work of Christ, not on the work of their hands. So what is the favor of God? What will it look like in your life? Here's what I think that the favor of God looks like in your life when you're walking in it or aware of it. Whether you're walking in it or not, it's there. God's favor on your life will open doors to good things. It'll open doors to opportunities that maybe you weren't expecting or haven't worked towards. God's favor on your life will open doors to things, good things, opportunities to speak to people, to minister to people, to serve them, to love them. God's favor will open the door to blessing upon your life in every way. I would personally define blessing as something that causes you to prosper in life. So God's blessing causes you to do well in life in all ways. God's favor opens the door to blessing. His favor will cause people to listen to you, to want your input and your leadership. This is what God's favor will do on your life. You'll find people wanting to know what you think about a topic in your workplace, in your home, you know, if you're a teenager here, in your school. You'll find that people want to know, what do you think about that? That's God's favor on your life. They want to know, and it gives you the opportunity to speak into it the way Jesus would. His favor allows the miraculous to operate through you, even in the hardest and the most difficult of circumstances. See, we believe that all things are possible with God. That there's no such thing as an impossible situation or place where it's just so dark that even the light of God can't shine. We believe that, that those things don't exist. And that is the truth. And the favor of God means that wherever you go, the presence of God is there as well. That darkness flees before you. Not because of you, not because you're doing right, but because the presence of God is upon your life. Do you need to do right? Absolutely you do. Sure, of course. Have you ever faced a situation, whether it's your own or been invited into a situation and you thought, that seems impossible? And maybe you experienced fear or intimidation. You're thinking, well, like I could pray for that, for God to do something miraculous, but I'm kind of scared that if I do, that He won't do it. Yep. Right, me too. Absolutely. I pray for people to be physically healed a lot. And it's one of the things that one of the ways that God often works through my life is in areas of healing, all kinds of healing. And I, you know, honestly, I've seen more people not healed than I've seen healed. But I have seen God heal people. And one of the most spectacular ones I've ever seen. Let's tell you about it. Okay, is that all right? Okay. I don't know how long I've been, but this young lady, she was in my youth group at one point in time years ago. And as she became an adult woman, she was around the age of 30, she got diagnosed with MS. And she came to see Angela and I, and she was telling us about it. And of course, she's 30 years old, and she's devastated at this diagnosis, understandably. And so she'd been through a whole bunch of tests and different things, and including, you know, they do scans of her brain and everything. I'm not super medical, okay? And the MS had advanced to the point where it had started to put holes in her brain. From what I understand, she had pictures of it. Anyways, so we started to pray for her, and then some months later, she joined us at a retreat that I was doing with my teens, and she joined and she helped. She served in the kitchen, and she just wanted to come and be around. So at one point in time, I just knew we were supposed to pray for her, and so we called her name was Cindy, and Angela and I called her in, and there were some things in her life that she needed to deal with. Honestly, it was primarily a root of rebellion in her life towards her father. And so as she dealt with it, I saw something break on her. Okay, and I said to her, so we prayed, and I knew, I was like, God's just done something in you. And so she didn't necessarily feel any different right away because it wasn't affecting her that significantly yet. So we just believed, and we went away. Months later, she came back to us, and she said, you won't believe, because she had to go for these tests, like physical tests at her doctor every 6 weeks or something. So she came back a few months later, I don't remember exactly how long, and she says, I went in and I started to do all these testings, like they poke and they prod and they bang things, and they're waiting, looking for certain reactions. And she said, I got all the way through it, and she says, and the practitioner looked at me and said, I don't even understand why you're here. Do you even have MS? And she's like, no, I don't. And then later, okay, it gets even better, because later she went back for another scan on her brain, and all the holes had filled in. And the doctor said to her, he says, I don't know how this happens, because it's not supposed to happen. And that's honestly one of the most fantastic things I've ever seen God do. I'll tell you right now, it has nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus. I don't heal. He does. I just happen to know Him. Do you know Him? Ah. That should be a light bulb moment. Step into things that look impossible because the favor of God is on you. It's on this church. I don't even know you. I don't even know if I like you. I don't even know if you like me. I'm teasing. I'm joking. But I do know that the favor of God's on you. You can grow in it. Because of Jesus, your life is now a magnet for the favor of God. He's just that good to us. In Luke 2 and 52, okay, and we're almost done here. Luke 2 and 52 says this. It says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus increased in favor with God and men. If Jesus could increase in wisdom and favor, then so can we. And so I've got just three quick things for you this morning in ways that we can be more effective in stewarding, operating, living in the favor of God in our life. And I just want to stop and actually point out, if you're a teenager or you're a young adult, honestly, I really want to challenge you and encourage you to begin to seek the favor of God in your life. It's not like, you know, it's not like us older people can't do it too, but here, my thinking is this, that the longer you pursue it in your life, the more you'll know it and understand it and walk in it. That you'll find your, you know, if you're a teenager, you'll find yourself in your high school, and teachers and other students will just want to know what you know or who you know. All right, here we go. There's three things. First, to see the favor of God stewarded well, increased in your life. First one is this, is handle your current level of favor well. Handle the current level that you see in your life, handle it well. So what you have to do is you have to examine your life. You have to consider where you see the favor of God working in your life. I already told you about how God's the favor of God opens doors. People will listen to you. So if you find that, you know, there's a particular area or topic that people seem to pay attention to what you have to say about it, that's the favor of God on your life. So pay attention to those things. Consider, right, what doors open easily for you, where you seem to have influence in other people's lives, or ways in which God does miraculous things through you. Once you discover those, where you're experiencing His favor, you just thank Him for it. And then look for opportunities to use it, because you learn it. Jesus grew in it. We can grow in it. Okay? So that's the first one. Handle the current level you have well. The second is this. You need to honor and celebrate God's favor that you see on other people's lives. Celebrate it when you see God's favor on other people's lives. Whenever you see God's favor being released through somebody else, encourage them in it. When we celebrate the work of Jesus through other people's lives, the supernatural result of that is that the byproduct of it is that God will increase His favor upon our life. Psalm 133 tells us that unity is a good and pleasing thing to God and that it commands His blessing. So we celebrate the favor we see on other people's lives. As part of that, right, if you see favor on somebody's life and you have a similar favor, or maybe you just want that favor on your life, and that can be okay too, but you want to learn from people that are already operating in the favor in a greater way. You want to come into relationship with them and know them. So you want to celebrate it in them. Okay, the third one is this, is to be faithful in the small things in life. You want to see God's favor increase in your life, be faithful in those small things. When we do the small things in life in a great way, we are positioning ourselves for an increase in the favor of God. Well, the favor of God is more dependent upon our beliefs than our performance. Our performance does matter. How we live, what we do, what we say, how we treat people makes a difference. The way that we handle our money or our time makes a difference. When we handle it well, it gives God, it makes room for God to increase His favor upon us. When we intentionally treat others with love and kindness, it allows God to give us favor in greater ways. When we work at becoming people of integrity, it gives us greater influence in the world. So be faithful in what God's given you. So those are three things that you can do, okay? So handle your current level of favor well, honor and celebrate it in other people's lives, and be faithful in the small things in life. So in a moment, I'm going to pray for you. We're going to pray together. You might need to say, okay, God, I need to ask you to forgive me. I need to readjust my position before you because I've been busy trying to earn from you and I just need to receive. But then I'm going to speak God's favor over you. Okay? I'm going to speak it over you. I'm going to speak it over our church and our beginning together. And Because I just believe that God wants to pour out His Spirit upon us, not just for us, but for this region, for this area, right? That we would see God's favor increase. All right. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to pray. Maybe, yeah, John, you can come on back. Thanks, John. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So maybe just where you are, you need to begin to adjust your beliefs, to lay down a performance-based faith with the Lord, and to just simply receive grace and favor. That's what you need to do. Just begin to do it between you and Him right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Maybe this is a topic that you've never really thought about before. So I'm just going to, just where you are, if it's a topic you've never really thought about, let me encourage you just to begin to ask God. Just ask Him. Say, Lord, where is Your favor upon my life? And then make commitments, right, to steward it well, to celebrate in other people's lives, and to handle the small amount of favor that maybe you have, or maybe it's a big amount, I don't know, it doesn't matter, but you're just going to handle it well. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you have been, you know, a little bit negligent in handling the small things of your life well, and you're saying, okay, God, like, I'm going to get back to doing the small things in my life well for You, Lord, so that I can see the increase of Your favor on my life. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. So, Lord, we repent of believing the lie that Your favor is more dependent upon our performance than on Your grace. And we simply receive from You today all that You have for us in the area of favor. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. God, we receive from You right here, right now, Your grace new and afresh, Your favor upon our lives. There's something in your life that's been blocking, you feel is a block in your life right now. I'm going to encourage you to begin to speak the favor of God over it, which means you say, God, you know, that roadblock is not actually there. That thing, that spiritual thing or that physical thing, it's not actually there. God, I am free in Christ. Free. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we declare that Your favor is on our lives, that Your favor is abundant and overflowing. God, we declare that wherever we go, we expect to see and experience the tangible evidence of Your approval. Lord, we expect doors to open, for leaders to seek us out, and for the hardest of hearts to be opened when they're around us, because Your presence is upon our lives. God, we declare that Your increasing favor rests upon this church, that it isn't tied to any one person or any one activity, but that, God, that CLF is a beacon of Your grace, Your love, and Your power in this community. God, we declare that the future of this church is greater than its past. That, God, in You, You always have greater in mind, O God. So that, Lord, and it isn't dependent upon me, it isn't dependent upon any one of us, God, it is dependent upon our pursuit of You, Your presence in our life, O God. So we declare, Lord, that anything that is in our way, God, we say to You that, Lord, we give You permission to remove it, that we would operate and walk fully in the favor of God in our lives. That as Jesus grew and increased in favor, so would we. That we would, Lord, see the things that Jesus did become the things that we are doing here in every single way, Lord. We declare that Your favor rests upon our relationships. It rests upon our finances, our workplaces, our schools. your favor, oh God, that you're going to begin to open doors that we thought would never open, that tomorrow morning when people go into work, God, they're going to be surprised, they're going to be shocked at the change in people's attitudes towards them because your favor rests upon them. For those of you that maybe you find yourself with a spouse that isn't believing, we're going to declare, right? We declare God's favor. And it's not, here's the sense I have from God. It's not just that they're not believing. It's that they're actually even a little bit antagonistic towards you. Okay? So we're just, God, we speak your favor over that right now, that when that person or people, when they go home to their spouse, that's going to be shifted, it's going to be changed now in Jesus' name, that your favor is going to shift that relationship. It's going to change. It's going to change. Jesus, your favor, we declare your favor, your presence on our life. That God, when just as Jesus, when you showed up places, And atmospheres changed. It's going to be the same, Lord, when we enter homes, workplaces, and businesses, when we talk to our neighbors, your presence will just be sensed and known because that's your favor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God, you are so good. You're so good. Lord, we pray this now. In your beautiful name, Jesus. Your beautiful name. We say thank you. We love you. God, may you go with us. May you be with us. God, may we walk fully in your favor. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Come on down and say hi to me. And I think there's coffee, right, in the chapel. Is that right? All right. So make your way there, and may you have a wonderful week. God bless you.